The Pacific Northwest slowed down this full-time family enough that they paused their full-time RVing to experience a chapter up in the Cascade Mountains, and they have a great story to tell. Welcome to RV Out West. I'm your host, Brooks. My family of four's base camp is located in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, and our RV adventures radiate out from there. Please grab a mug of coffee and join us as we discuss RVing around the American West. From sweet camping spots, gear and equipment, to tips and tricks, we've got you covered. We are RV Out West. The pandemic has made its mark in our history books, and it will be one of the stories that our children will be discussing with their grandchildren decades from now. One family utilized this time to pivot how they were living, and while it might have started as a way to just be outside, it quickly evolved into a lifestyle of adventure for them, which has brought them to the Pacific Northwest, where they now find themselves in a home living a chapter up in the Cascade Mountains. Joining us on the show is Jamie and Clay from Letters on the Road. You should give them a follow on Instagram, as well as listen to their podcast, as they have a great story to tell. Jamie and Clay, thank you so much for joining us here on RV Out West.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's start with your story. I'm fascinated by your stories. Tell me a bit about yourselves.
So born and raised kind of all over, born in California, raised on the Olympic Peninsula in Silverdale, and then moved to Iowa when I was in middle school. So kind of all over the country, very different experiences. Studied chemical engineering in undergrad, worked in that field for a few years, went and got my MBA, worked in finance, primarily in private equity for about 10 years, and then hit the road and decided to record a podcast and do some writing. So that's kind of the short story of
You skipped a lot.
I was going to say, that's a one, two, skip a few. That's the Cliff Notes version. I know I'm dating myself when I say that, but hey.
No, I got you. Yeah, and sorry, Clay Schumacher. Yeah, so Jamie and I met actually when we were in high school in Iowa.
Okay.
Yep, got married in college, and it's been one adventure after the other. And yeah, the latest set of that has been on the road for the last 3 years, and we finally found a home base again here in the Cascades.
So Clay, are you originally then from the Midwest, Iowa area?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. My parents are still in Iowa, but I was kind of bounced around a bit as a kid too, KC, Illinois, and then Iowa after that. So that's where we met.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then you guys have children. We don't need to get into ages and whatever, but you have three kids?
Two
kids. Okay. So you guys were living in an RV full time for a bit, right? What's the story there?
It was an accidental thing, like a lot of things in our lives end up being. We had been tent campers. I always wanted a trailer. Clay didn't. COVID rolled around. I convinced him that was the way we could get out and explore and be out of the house, but in a safe way. So yeah. We bought our first trailer, a Taxamantis, that we pulled with our Subaru Ascent, and pulled that all over the country for a year, but still owned our house. We came back for like a couple of months in between a couple of longer trips. After that, we decided we wanted to sell the house because we were never there. We upgraded to a fifth wheel and officially went full time in August of 21.
So when you were in that initial first trailer, you had your house, did you guys rent it, or were you just making mortgage payments on an empty house, or rent payments or whatever? Were you just making payments on an empty house?
It would have been smart to rent it, but we didn't plan ahead that much.
Well, that's fine. Fair enough. I mean, life is an adventure.
You're just there one day and then gone the next,
Right.
It was enough. Also central Illinois, so our mortgage payment was very low.
Yeah, fair. Was there like a conversation that led to like, hey, what, after those longer trips and you're like, we're just going to do this. Did you guys homeschool, road school, whatever? Or were you just give me some of that background information there.
Yeah, I can. So our first year on the road in the Mantis, it was like homeschooling straight up. So at that time I was running my own business. I'm a software developer. And I was pretty much part-time and had a team working for me. And I was able to run school for each of the kids. So they were in like fifth grade and preschool at the time. And it was a lot of fun. but we figured out after that it was not great for us to be their teacher. And we found an online school that actually worked. once we decided to that, hey, it was our window and we were going to go ahead and sell the house and go full time. We enrolled them first, just the older one, and then the next year, the younger one as well, in an online school that worked really well, actually. But they'll be back to in-person school this upcoming fall.
So your decision to get into RVing, Jamie, was because of COVID and just wanted to have an adventure?
Yeah, I always want an adventure. We were always prioritizing travel, and it was just a way. And I traveled a bunch for work before COVID. And so I think it was just a way that we wanted to get out there and see things in a safe way. We got restless pretty quick. We built a climbing wall in our garage in the first couple of months of COVID. And then after that was done, said, okay, what's next?
The logical thing would be to stay home and enjoy that climbing wall.
Fair. I mean, now that you're where you are living right now, there is a lot of wonderful climbing right out your back door. I mean, you are in a pretty amazing spot to be able to go and do that. I mean, maybe not right now. I don't know if you're that hard.
Soon. Maybe,
but soon. Well, let me ask you this then. So after your time being on the road, doing some of the traveling, what are some of the lessons you learned about RVing? But I'm going to really drill down to being RVing in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I think especially in the Northwest, we've been surprised by great weather. Like, we can never count on the weather one way or the other. We'll plan on difficult weather and it'll be fantastic. We've had two trips to Olympic National Park that should have been really kind of a mess in terms of weather the time of year that we were there. And both times it was like 70 degrees and sunny the whole time, which is not what we expected at all. So I guess we've learned to be open to being pleasantly surprised in that way. And I think, I don't know, we've learned how much we still have left to see, even when you boil down to smaller portions of the country or of the continent, that there's just, and that kind of leads to part of why we chose this area for our home base, but there's just so much in this area that interests us in terms of hiking and climbing and water sports and skiing and all these things that are just right out this in this little window, and we could spend forever here and probably not see it all. And so that's, I think, you know, one of the things that we've learned.
I think one of our big concerns being on the road, like full time, and like the freedom that you feel doing that, was like, oh, if we pick a home base again, like, are we going to feel like it's kind of a letdown, you know? But I have not felt that way here at all. And it's been, what, almost 6 months we've been here now. So
off the record, actually, I'll keep it on the record. I could give an entire paycheck to Cured and the Cheesemonger. Both. I could give them a paycheck in a blink of an eye and be like, here you go, just take it.
There's so much good stuff. I mean,
oh my gosh,
Leavenworth specifically. I mean, it's weird because it's like a tourist town, right? So it's a tiny town, but there's all kinds of good food and stuff to do, like, even if that's what you're looking for. But I mean, yeah, there's outdoor stuff, there's everything. So yeah, it's great.
So first off, let's talk about some of the places you have already camped here in the Pacific Northwest. And then we're going to talk about some future trips and where you're thinking you're going to go.
Sure. I think one of our, so we've done more or less done the Pacific Coast Highway all the way from San Diego up through Washington twice. It's one of our favorite things to do anywhere. That's so nice we did it twice. So we love the coast. We love driving along the coast, especially the Oregon coast, I think is just one of the most spectacular places. Cape Blanco State Park is one of our favorites. We love Astoria and Fort Stevens there as well. And one of our weird favorites was in Coos Bay. We really liked Shore Acres State Park, which is a kind of a funky place that we really enjoyed. But those are, I think, are some of our very favorites. But we've done Crater Lake as well. We stayed at a county park near there in kind of early season, got to go play in the snow. That was a ton of fun. And then in Washington, we love Deception Pass. I know you've had a recent mm-hmm. episode on Deception Pass. Yep. My brother was stationed on Whidbey for a while. And so we'd gotten out there before we were even RVing or really even doing a whole lot of hiking or anything, and spent a day hiking out there. and kind of fell in love with the area. I knew we wanted to come back with the RV. We were able to do that last summer or spring, and really enjoyed that. I'm sure we'll be back over there.
Well, next time if you are heading back south, make sure you book at Cape Disappointment.
Okay.
State Park, which is on the Washington side at the mouth of the Columbia. So kind of a stone's throw from Astoria, just mm-hmm. on the other side of the river in Astoria.
Yeah, we could see it from Fort Stevens where we were on the other side.
That's exactly. Right, yeah. And it's a beautiful campground. It's fantastic. It is no secret. It is probably the most popular state park. So getting a spot in there can be challenging. Also, just know that if you do get a spot there, there is zero cell service in there. So if you're planning to do any sort of remote work while you're there, you won't be able to. You'll have to leave the park. Like, it's a forced unplug. Well, that fits
into some of the lessons we learned, right?
Yeah. Maybe Starlink, if you're Starlink.
Starlink was a revelation for living and working on the road until you get into the trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Starlink is not your friend either.
Yeah. So Starlink might work there, but it's also pretty heavily forested. So just plan to unplug.
A good weekend trip.
Yeah. Have you done any camping on the east side of the Cascades going over to Eastern Washington at all, or any places out in that general vicinity?
Not enough yet. So we've basically done Leavenworth, and that's kind of it in terms of camping on the east side.
So future trips. So you guys are currently renting mm-hmm. a Sticks and Brick place right now. Mm-hmm. So this is a temporary housing situation for you to get through the winter and through ski season. Who knows? Maybe. I don't know.
RV. At least a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it for a year. The kids want to do in-person school starting in the fall. And so we decided to go with the limited rental, long-term rental options around here. We kind of found a place we liked and just jumped on it, moved in, got set up. And then we're setting up to leave because our Airstream is down in Las Vegas right now. So we're getting ready to go grab that over like kind of spring break, Easter week. We're going to go grab that and hit Tahoe on the way back to ski for a week, do some spring skiing in Tahoe, and then come back here. We'll be here for a couple weeks and then we hit the road for our summer trip.
So let's talk about your future trips. What's your summer plan? What are you guys thinking?
We've got a big Great Lakes tour coming up for the summer. So we're from the Midwest, but we haven't spent enough time in kind of the northern Midwest. And kind of we're hitting all the Great Lakes, basically. And we're also, it's a summer of live music for us. So we've got a lot of concert tickets, some festival tickets. So we're planning to do a lot of that kind of stuff along our travels along the Great Lakes. So we kind of built it all around that.
Super cool. And then what concerts, festivals are you guys hitting up?
So we've got tickets. We're going to see Bleachers in concert. We'll see Noah Kahan. We have tickets for Mount Joy. And then we've got tickets for the Railbird Music Festival in Lexington. So one of the crazy things that we're pulling is that we're going to go to Madison, Wisconsin, drop down to Lexington, Kentucky, and then go up to Minnesota because that makes a lot of sense.
It's fine. It's driving. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
That's where the stuff was. So that's where we're going.
I would love to hear a bit about your road trip. Well, first off, how do you guys know Jason and Abby of RV Miles? What's the story there?
We were neighbors at the RV Entrepreneur Summit in 21, right after we hit the road full time. So we pulled up right next to them. They parked us like a foot away from each other. And Abby went to introduce herself and I said, I know who you are. And we kind of were together ever since. So they invited us out for beers later that week. And we just kind of like our families hit it off and we traveled off and on together ever since then.
That's great. So you guys did the Baja to Alaska whatever with them last summer.
Yes, we did.
Tell me about that experience.
Oh my goodness. It's like hard to even know where to start because it was so great to see new stuff, to revisit some stuff because we'd been through California and, you know, the coast before and really enjoyed it. So it was fun to get to show them some of the stuff that we really loved that they hadn't been to yet and vice versa. We all were experiencing Mexico and Alaska together for the first time. We loved the time we spent in Canada. There was so much driving, but it was really fun driving to me anyway. All the wildlife, just so many like once in a lifetime experiences packed into like 6 months, but it was almost overwhelming at times, but it was such a great experience.
That's cool.
Not to mention, you know, starting your Letters from the Road and the podcast and all that at the same time too.
At the same time.
No big deal.
Right. They probably, yeah, they're a good inspiration to be like, you should just start podcasting. It'll be fine. It's great.
That's pretty much how it happened.
How was it actually crossing the Canadian border with your RV? Because I know you have a dog, because the dog's barked a little bit. So I'm curious, like, paperwork wise for the dog and all of that stuff. What?
No big deal. Like, almost nothing. We had all of our paperwork for the dog. It was actually we brought this dog back from Alaska, but we had all our paperwork and all the vaccines and stuff for the dog, but it wasn't, we were never asked for it at any of the borders we crossed. We just had really, even going into Mexico and coming back, like really kind of textbook easy border crossings. Okay. I'm not sure that it would be that way for everybody, but asked very basic questions. We answered them, we tried really hard to make sure we didn't have things we weren't supposed to have. I'm sure we had some piece of produce or something somewhere we shouldn't have, but for the most part, we felt pretty prepared so that we could answer all the questions. You know, no, we don't have it. No, we don't have it. No, we don't have it. We don't travel with firearms or anything like that. So that's really easy for us. So like, tried to make it as easy for ourselves as we could.
Right. Fair enough.
Well, the border agent, when we were crossing into Canada, said, well, you don't have any firearms. That's good. But when you get to Alaska, you should get one because everyone there has one.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, the Alcan, driving the Alcan to Alaska is next on the bucket list. So,
I mean, if you're good for boondocking, like it's really, and you don't have any like specific set schedule, we had such a fun time just kind of going as far as we wanted to in a day. And we didn't go nearly as fast as a lot of people do. We camped at pull-offs. We had Starlink. It was honestly like the drive was a big part of what we had fun doing last summer.
Right. That's the way I would take it too. Like, okay, so just out of curiosity, going from kind of the time you crossed into BC to when you got to Anchorage, how long did you take ish? I'm envisioning that being like a 2.5-3 week trip just in and out.
Yeah, it was about a month, I think, till we got we went to Fairbanks first, but yeah.
We took a week at first though and kind of hung out in the Vancouver area.
Sure.
So that was our first week. And then we took about 3 weeks to get up to where we actually crossed at the North Crossing at Chicken there. Yeah.
Okay. And did you go out to Dawson Creek so you could get it and do the sign and actually be on the Alcan that way? Or did you, because there's the other route coming from here where you can go more north and you don't go out to Dawson.
So because of fires, we took the Stuart Cassier up and did that route up and then took the Alcan back. So we have our picture at Dawson Creek, but it's from when we finished.
Yeah. Fair enough. Mile zero and you ended. That's good. Okay. What has been kind of one piece of advice that you've never forgotten? And this doesn't necessarily need to be a life lesson. It could just be RV camping related, you know, kind of, I'll let you interpret it as you will.
I think one we picked up probably from watching a bunch of KYD is slow as pro. Like that's one that we repeat to each other all the time is like, or slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Like we're a family of high energy people. We have high energy dogs. Like we are like just always kind of ready to go. I feel like, and so there can be a lot of chaos. And so we have to like remind ourselves, especially like when we're doing things with the rig and like hooking up or backing, like to get really methodical and slow down and take a breath and not get in a hurry. And I think it's saved us a lot of heartache.
Okay. Clay, do you have anything?
Yeah, that's a very practical one, Jamie, but I guess mine's a little bit more dreamer.
Well, that's fine. That's probably about right for the two of us.
But it's just, I think it's just, you know, if you see your window, take it. Mm. And you don't always know until it's on you. But like we had no clue that we were going to be traveling the country and camping in whatever 44 states that we've done now, you know, prior to 2020. But like it evolved that way. And we just like found, you know, picked up that thread and followed it. And it's been just amazing. So yeah, definitely, you know, you don't always get those opportunities, but when they come along, you know, jump right in.
That's great.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you end up back where you started.
Oh, and I was going to ask really quick. So you went from your first trailer that you were towing with the Subaru was what again?
A Taxa Mantis.
Okay.
19 feet, pops up.
Okay. So you did that. You then went to a fifth wheel. Mm-hmm. How long were you in the fifth wheel before you ended up in your Airstream?
It's kind of a trick question because we still have the fifth wheel too. But we
is the fifth wheel with you up there in Leavenworth?
It is. Yeah, we were in it for the winter. It's a long, boring story about the fifth wheel getting in an accident in Florida and needing to go for repairs and that taking a year. We picked up the Airstream in November of, so it was about a year in the fifth wheel before we decided we wanted the Airstream. And really a lot of that having to do with wanting to do a lot of state parks and stuff as we went from Mexico up to Alaska, wanting to have something more nimble. We'd always wanted the Airstream, so we just kind of jumped on it when we found one on a lot at that point. And then the fifth wheel was kind of like ready to be picked up right around when we were going to come up here, be like stationary for a few months at least, we knew. And so we decided to get into the fifth wheel for that because it's, you know, two bedrooms, a bath and a half, a little bit more space for being stationary. So it's a little bit of, we're going to sell the fifth wheel now, though. We're going out in the Airstream. Got it, gotcha. Yeah, a little bit of both. But for moving, we like to move fast when we're moving. And so the Airstream suited that really well.
Okay. And I have one more question. You had mentioned KYD. So when you were on your drive up to Alaska, did you find their sign in the sign forest?
You did.
That's so cool.
We have a picture. Yep.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's awesome. Okay. I just had to ask. Because I want to go find it too. So that's pretty cool.
It's really fun. The sign forest was fun. And we did all that because we hit the Alcan on our way back. We had all that kind of saved up for the way back, which was actually really fun to kind of still have those things to look forward to on our way back.
If you look, I can't tell you where it is even, but we left a Christmas ornament, a homemade Christmas ornament Jason and Abby gave us that says Baja to Alaska. Well, it says B to A on it.
Up in the sign forest?
And then it says beast mode on the other side.
Nice. Okay. Fair enough. It is beast mode. That's good. Then let me ask you this. Where can people follow along on your journey, find out more about you, kind of where are your socials? Where can they go to learn more about you and your family and your adventures?
Sure. Our Substack, where I do some writing, like two kind of letters per week, is lettersfromtheroadpod.com. And we also have some socials at Letters from the Road Pod, and our family socials are Getting Out of Normal. And our email is lettersfromtheroadpod@gmail.com if anyone wants to get a hold of us.
Yeah. So our podcast Letters from the Road comes out every Sunday.
There you go, Clay. Thank you. Yep. I'm used to signing off with that.
be sure to check that out.
All right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to chat with us here on RV Out West. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brooks.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
I want to remind you that the first question of the month is still live. Please visit rvoutwest.com and click on the link question to share with us about one of your memorable road trips. You only have 90 seconds, so be succinct, but please share. In the next week's Pit Stop, I will be sharing your responses, so you still have a little bit of time to share with us about one of your memorable road trips. I look forward to hearing about your road trip and highlighting them on the show. Again, please visit rvoutwest.com and click on the link question. Thank you again for listening to RV Out West. I sincerely appreciate it. I'm asking you to do two things for me. Please give RV Out West a follow on Facebook and Instagram, and please share with your RVing friends and family about this podcast. I sure would appreciate it. Next Monday's Pit Stop episode, we chat about the quaint little village of Friday Harbor up in the San Juan Islands. There are a lot of fun things to see and do up there, and with some easy access via the ferry, it can make for a great day trip or for a longer camping trip. As the spring weather begins to turn for the better, it's a great time to go visit before the big crowds of summer. Thanks so much for listening to RV Out West. Join us again next week. Please like and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you choose to get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. I sure would appreciate it if you left a rating or a review of the show. Special thanks to Scott Holmes Music for providing us the intro song, We Are One. RV Out West can be found on Instagram and Facebook, where you can interact with us and follow along on our RV adventures around the Pacific Northwest. So get out there, explore, and go see what's beyond the horizon.